Okay, Rabosa, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Samach Gimel, and we're here at the bottom of Samach Beis Amud Beis. Right, if you remember, we had this weird, very confusing case in the Mishnah, right, and a couple of interpretations where we had Rabbah and Abaye in terms of how to interpret the Mishnah, just to go again to Chazer once at least at the beginning, right, and then you'll have to do your own Chazering. Right, so the Mishnah had said, right, that what's a case where we have Ribis Derabanan, right, Tarbis, right, Ribis Derabanan, as we explained, right, if someone bought wheat, right, for 25 dinar, which is a dinar zot, for 25 dinar for a kor, and that was the market value, paid for the wheat, and then the value of the wheat went up, right? He didn't actually get the wheat, the value of wheat went up, and ended up at 30. So then the guy said, give me the wheat, because, you know, again, I bought it at 25, and now it's worth 30. So the seller said, I don't have... not that I don't have, but I'm not going to give you the wheat. I'm going to give you a debt, meaning I'm going to give you 30 dinarim, right? And you're going to have a wine, meaning if you want to buy wine, right? That's what you wanted to do with the money. Right? If you want to buy wine, I'll give you 30 dinar, right, worth of wine. If there's no, if the guy does not own wine, so that is a problem of ribis. And Abaye, right, basically had explained, based on Rav Safra, an example of Rav Safra, right, that, for example, that Rav Safra's case was where the guy said, right, give me 25 slim, right, that's, again, dinar zav, or 25 dinar, whatever it is, right, dinar zav, right, again, it's halavini. The case was a money, and he says, I don't have a money, but I have wheat. So take the wheat that's worth 25 slim, and then the guy goes and buys it back for 24 slim, right, and meaning that the borrower buys it back, meaning the lender buys it back for 24 slim, because the borrower needs the money, needs the cash, right? But he still owes him the 25, so that's already, right, sounds like ribis. So too our case, right? The case was where in the mission, the guy said, lend me 30, right? The guy says, I don't have 30, but I have wheat that's worth 30. So he gave him wheat that's worth 30, right? Then he bought it back, right, for 25, right? The lender bought it back from the 25, and the guy, now you have to pay him back 30, right? Then he goes back and forth with the wine, right? And he says, I'll give you the wine, right? And that's how Abaye interpreted, okay? So that was Abaye. Now, Rav is going to have a bunch of kashas on that. Right, that was a 2-minute chazara, but Rav is going to have a bunch of kashas on that. Right, okay, so we're holding by Rav over here. Amar le Rava, it's about those 7, 8, 9 lines up, whatever it is. Amar le Rava, ihachi ten li chiti dimei chiti me boyle. Again, if Rava has 4 kashas, that we're going to answer all of them, or the first 3 rather, by reinterpreting the Mishnah or rewriting the Mishnah, and then the 4th one finally is going to stick, and that's what's going to lead Rava to make his interpretation, right, of the Mishnah, what's going on, and then we'll move on to other issues of Rivas. So Rava first says, if you're telling me again that according to Abaye, right, how you want to learn the Mishnah is right, so why does it say tinli chiti, or demei chiti mi boile? Should have said, give me the value, right, of my wheat. Not give me my wheat, because the guy, what's happening? The lender doesn't want the wheat back, right? He wants the value. Again, he wants the value of the wheat. So the Gemara says, you're right. Tani demei chiti. Okay, so give me the value of my wheat. Okay, you can mean in the Mishnah, you could just change the words in the Mishnah to mean the value of my wheat. Okay, shani mochram, then I'm going to sell to you. Meaning, what do you mean sell to him? Right, but the Abaye is understanding that the lender, right, is not asking, again, also not asking for the wheat back. He's just asking for the money back, right? So he wants the value of it for. What is he selling? So shemachar tim lecha mi bayale. Right, he should have said, give me the wheat that I sold to you, because that's right, because right, he gave it in the wheat, sold it back for 25, right? Okay. So Gemara says, tani shemachar tim lecha enichanami. So you could change it to mean, but to say that mechar tim lecha. Okay. So Rava says, but what do you mean? Hare chitecha asuyos alai b'shoshin dinarim mekare nami hami ukmili lavi. Why does the Mishnah say that your wheat, right, I'm taking on a debt of 30 dinarim, right, for the value of the wheat? That was the original, according to Abaye, that's how it started. Not that it started at 25 and went to 30 like we originally understood, but it started at 30. So this is what you can understand the Mishnah by meaning, right, and then obviously v'yayin ein lo, right? What it means is that the value of the wheat that we originally, right, made, right, as an arranged for 30 dinarim, right, we'll transform that into wine, but the guy doesn't have any wine, etc., etc. And finally, this is the fourth kasha that sticks, that we can't reinterpret the Mishnah, and therefore Rava has another answer. Why does it say, right, that the Mishnah, right, the guy bought wheat at a dinar zavakor, and that was the value, right? That was the value of the wheat in the marketplace, right? That wasn't, in Abaye's case, it was at 30, right? Started at 30, not, again, dinar zav is 25. So why, it was 30 zav, or 30 dinar, not the gold zav, right? A dinar zav, which is 25. Salah, maravas, maravas, finally, based on that question, right? You can't change that, right? That, in the Mishnah, you can't move that around. Salah, rather, kishachim, the Rabbi Yoshia, nafak, levasi. Rava says that when Rabbi Yoshia, right, when I die, says Rava, right, when Rabbi Yoshia will come and meet me, right, the Mitarasta Mashnitz Kavasi, because I'm about to explain this Mishnah like his Shita. The Tanya Rabbi Yoshia, as Rabbi Yoshia said, right, it gives the following case. Right, Reuven owed Shimon, right, $100. Falak v'amad al grono, and sure enough, Shimon shows up, right, and Al Grono on the threshing floor in the silo, whatever. And he says, "Give me $100 because I want to buy wheat." So sure enough, Reuven owes Shimon $100. Yeah, Reuven owes Shimon. So Reuven says to him, "Chitin ainly." Chitin yeshli shani nosin lecha. Right. So, but Reuven says, "I don't have $100, but I have wheat." So save us an alai kishar ashal achsav. So I'll give you wheat, right? Meaning I owe you $100. I owe you a mana, right? So convert that into, right, to wheat, and I'll give it to you. So yigi is man chitin lemkor, right? So sure enough, the time came, right? The wheat went up in value. So I'm allowed to tain lechitin. He says, "Give me my wheat." So he said he wanted to change, right, and buy wine. So Amalawi said again, same, pulled the same deal. He doesn't have, right, the wheat, but I'll change it. I'll change the debt, right, into something else. I'll change it into the wine that you actually want to buy, right? Right. Okay, fine. I'll give you wine according to, right, whatever the price is in the marketplace. And the guy was fine with that as well, right? He gives man yain limkor. And again, Reuven and Shimon do this whole dance. He wanted to get the wine, right? He wanted to go and buy shemen, again, because the prices are moving here. I'm not, the Gemara doesn't say, but basically the prices are moving here, right? And basically he wants to keep on buying a more valuable thing that currently is at a lower price. Give me my wine, because I'm going to sell it, the wine, which is at a high price, so I can buy some oil, which is at a low price. And Amalo, he said to him, again, also, I'll give you the oil, right, at the value of the market, or whatever the price is. So according to all these, says Rabbi Yoshia, when you're switching, right, wheat for wine, and wine for oil, whatever it is, kulam im yesh lo moter emein lo azer. If he has the actual item in his silo or whatever, so then that's fine. But if he doesn't, then that's usher. Again, we're concerned that if it would go up, right, and he would deliver it later, right, to give him the stuff later, right, that it would look like ribbis. Because again, let's say, for example, he bought it at 30 saw, and then when he delivers the oil 2 months later, right, it's worth more. So it seems like he's paying him, right, more for the loan. And that's exactly what Rava interprets our Mishnah as, right, in our case, right, that it's only usher if he has no wine. But in the case where, and for example, when he's switching the wheat for the wine, if he has the wine, so that would be fine. And if he doesn't, so that would be the problem. Umahai lokach. Umay lokach. Now, what the Mishnah said, right? He said lokach. Right? Then, what did we say? Right? Again, if he said he lokach chitim, right? What was the lashon of he bought wheat, right? For a dinar. Meaning, how did he buy this wheat? How did we start that? Start this whole situation just to explain the lashon of the Mishnah. Lokach b'halvaso. Right? He bought it, meaning with the loan, with the debt. He didn't actually pay him, right? But he, again, as we started our whole song and dance, right? He had original debt, right, of 100 of a mana, right? And he used that to quote unquote buy wheat. Okay, so Amar Rava says, right? Shema minam de Rabbi Yoshia tzlas. Rava says we can learn from Rabbi Yoshia's whole back and forth here three things. First of all, Shema minam de mamid malva al gabe peros. First of all, you can change a loan into produce. Right, into debt, meaning that you can say that you're going to eventually give me produce in the future, right, corresponding to, right, whatever money is owed, right? Again, that's against Rabbah, right? Where they said that before, that if you remember from yesterday, right, we're not allowed to do that, right? We're not allowed to pay produce in the future, right? Because the price may go up, et cetera, right? So, okay, so that's number one. Just to cut that short a little bit, back in the Gemara, V'lom Rinan Deloki Suru Habali Adahu. We don't say it's as if, right, we don't say it's not like the case, right, with the money comes to his hands, meaning that's why Rabbah said it was no good, right? Because it doesn't have the money, right, in hand. hand, but we don't say it like that. Again, like, against Rabba, okay. V'shma minahu di yeshlo. Again, we learn from Rabbi Yosha that this only works if the guy actually has the oil, the wine, whatever it is, right, in his possession. V'shma minahu easily the Rabbi Yanai. And sure enough, the third thing is we hold like Rabbi Yanai. Dem Rabbi Yanai, mali hein, mali demehen. Because Rabbi Yanai says, what's the difference between the produce, right, or the value of the produce? We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. We can have that today. We're going to do that right now. Good. Meaning, for example, this is Rabbi Yanai said. Rav Amar Rav says, Osin Amana Beperos. You can make an Amana for Peros, for some sort of produce, meaning you can pay, like, say, $100, right? Again, and let's say, you know, a barrel of wheat is $100, and you can give me, right, a barrel, later, as it goes, or in a month, or whatever it is, according to that, you can lock in the price right now. But the Enos and Amada Bedamin, but you can't do that, based on value, right? Again, you can't say that, in the future, right, if there is no produce or the value goes up, right, then you can just, go back to the $100, just give him back $100, because that's already seems like, right, we're nervous about a loan that's linked to the item, and Rashi says over here, and we don't want the value to go up, and then it appears to be like interest. Rabbi Yanai says, no, mali hin mali d'mayim. What's the difference, right? If you pay $100 for a barrel of wheat in a month, right, so what's the difference if a guy gives you a barrel of wheat in a month, or he gives you $100 in a month, or what's the difference? There's no, that is fine. Basically, hold on 1 second, and we ask the Akasha, Kulam, im yesh lo mutter, right, in all the scenarios, if he has, right, the item, right, then it's mutter, right, so that's, again, against what we just said, right, we just said that if you're going to allow to pay off, right, an amana, if you're going to pay for future wheat, right, that's only good if you have the stuff, right, but meaning that, sorry, 1 second. Right, so maybe, so that's exactly a kash against Rav. Right? The first sheet, there again, we basically, right, because we're holding like Rabbi Yanai. So Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, right? Bishem Mashach. Now that case is, that scenario would be, according to Rav, he would say that the guy did an actual kinyan on all the produce that he's trying to get, and therefore he acquired it mamish. So the Gemara says, well, but Ibn Mashach, Tzuchel Amimar, you don't have to tell me if the guy did a kinyan on the wheat, or the oil, or the whatever, the wine, etc. So Alek Agon Sheyichelu Karen's Abbas. Now the case is, right, but the guy didn't actually do a kinyan, but the guy who owed him the money, he designated, right, some sort of area in his house, right, Karen's Abbas is a corner, right, for the produce, right, to be there, and therefore he stored the stuff over there, and according to Rav, right, then we can view it as if the guy who was owed the money, right, actually acquired the items, right, even though he didn't do an actual kinyan. Okay, Shmuel, Amar Shmuel says, how do you understand Rav? It gives a different answer. How do you understand Rav and Rav Oshia? Meaning, how many Rabbi Yehuda he, that Rav is actually holding like Rabbi Yehuda? Damar tzad echad beribis motor. That tzad echad beribis is motor. What is that? That's if a scenario, meaning, ribis is I give you $100 and you pay me back $120. Right? Tzad echad beribis is that I give you $100 and there are two possibilities. Either, right, you give me back $120, right, or, right, you give me back $100. Now, obviously, why would you ever do that? But again, that's certain different scenarios, right, as we'll see in a second, that it could be that I may end up giving you ribbis. Like, for example, I gave you $100 and you give me back a barrel of wheat. So it could be the wheat is worth $100. It could be the wheat is worth $120. So depending, there are two possibilities. We'll see in a second an example. Right? But if there's one scenario where the money that's the value that's paid back is ribbis, and one scenario where the value that's paid back is not ribbis, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is mutter, right? When tzad echad, when one end, one side, one possible outcome, right, of the loan, right, is going to end up in ribbis, right? So that is going to be mutter because you have an out, right? Because the other tzad does not end up with ribbis, and Rabbi Yehuda says that's okay. Tetanya, as we learned in Rabbi Yehuda, Harei Shahaya, no shebuch ve'eramana, let's say the guy owed him, somebody $100. V'asolo sodea mecher, right? And he made his sale, he made his field, right, mecher, meaning a sale, meaning he gave the lender the field, right? And if he didn't give the field back, right, if he didn't pay the loan back, right, the guy keeps the field, right, from the time, right, of the loan. So bisman shamocher ochel peros mutter. If the seller, meaning the guy who owes the money, right, the mocher is a little bit confusing, but the guy who owes the money, right, the lover, really, the borrower, right, if he's going to eat the peros, if he's using the field, after then, that's mutter. That's totally fine. But lokechokoperos, but if the guy who lent the money, the literally means the buyer, but it means the guy who gave him the money, if he's, and again, he's using basically the field as collateral, so if he's using the field and using the peros, that's usher. That's usher because, again, there are two possibilities here. Either he's going to get to keep the field, and the field was always his, and then he could have used the peros, and it was his, the produce was his the whole time, or he's never had the field, right? And the guy is going to give him the money back, and then when he was using these peros during the time when he had the field, it was usher, and he's getting the $100 back plus the peros of the field, that is ribis. This is a case of tzad echa beribis, that there are two possible outcomes. Either he'll get $100, or he'll get the field, right? And if it turns out that he's getting the field, so then the produce he ate while he was holding onto the field, that was his the whole time, and that's fine. But if he gets the money back, so then he gets the money and the produce, which is obviously ribis, right? It's much more than the money he lent him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no, and this is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda Shita is. Af bezmanshe lokechok peros mutter. Even if the guy who lent the money is taking the produce, so then it's mutter because it's tzad echa beribis is mutter because you have a scenario where it won't end up with ribis, and that's fine. Amatam Rabbi Yehuda said the story that ma'aseh b'baitos ben zunin she'asa sadeh u'mecher. Right, sure enough, this happened with this guy named Baitos ben Zunin. Right, and Al Pi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Lokechok Peros Azariah. Right, he did it according to Kedas Gedin, right? Like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah told him, and there was a scenario where he was, right, the one eating the produce. He was the lokech. He was the lender. So Amar Lo, he said the Chacham said back to him, Nah, Misham Raya Mocher Ochel Peros Hayav Lokech. He said, you got your facts wrong. It wasn't the lokech. Right, it was the mocher. It was the buyer. It was the seller rather. It was the guy who borrowed the money, right, and therefore, right, he was using the produce, and that doesn't prove your scenario at all. It's actually, right, not bechol relevant whatsoever. So the question is, what's the machlokes here? I'm Rabbi Tzadecha Beribas Iker Benayhu. And sure enough, as we explained, this is a case of Tzadecha Beribas, and that's the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, right, and the Chachamim, that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Rava, Amar Rava says, no, Ribbit Almanaz Bahaksir Gibinayu. No, the question is, Ribbit Almanaz Bahaksir, right? If a person is going to give back Ribbis, right? Are you allowed to take Ribbis, right? Even though you intend to return it. Meaning that if the guy, even though the guy's using the peros and eating in the field, he's going to pay it back, right? So according to Chachamim, you're not allowed to do that. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, right? He is allowed to do that because, let's say, if he gets the $100, he'll simply pay, right, for the produce in question. The Chachamim say, no, we can't do that. And the Rabbi Yehuda says, you can do that. Okay. Amar Rava. Rava says, Hashadam Rabbi Yanai. Once Rabbi Yanai says that Mali Hain, Mali Demayim, right, it doesn't matter, right, between the produce, right, and the value, right, Mali Demayim, Mali Hain, Nami Arminan, right, so we also say the other way, right, what's the difference between, right, the value, right, or the money? And therefore, what do we say? Poskin Ashar Bashuk, Alva Pisha Einlo, right, therefore you can say that if a person can do this, Amana, sorry, I just had to flip back for a second. You can do this Amana scenario where you pay, right, and then you get produce later, right, if, right, there is a shuk, a sharba shuk, if there's a price in the marketplace, meaning if the guy, even if the guy doesn't have the, right, let's say you pay $100 for a barrel of wheat in a month, right, deliver me a barrel of wheat in a month. Right, so we said that only if the guy has the barrel of wheat on him, that's okay. But here, now we're saying that if that's the price that's going, the shar bashuk, right, since it doesn't matter, mali demehem, mali hain, right, since it doesn't matter whether he has the stuff or the money, right, if the seller is able to get the produce in question, let's say the barrel of wheat, right, even if he doesn't have it on him, that's okay too, because he has the money and he could just go buy it himself. That's the following question on Rava. Wait, lo usher. But one second, didn't we just say that all these scenarios, Rabbi Yoshi's Bryce says it's only if he has the produce? Now you're telling me, according to this concept, right, of Rabbi Yanai, that it doesn't matter whether he has the produce or not. So Amar Leu, Hasam Halva, Hakazvini. So Rabbi said, yeah, and Rabbi Yoshi's Bryce is alone. So Enechanami, he's not actually paying him the money. But here, by Hakazvini, here we're talking about a sale where the guy's actually getting the money. So the seller has the money in hand, even though he doesn't have the wheat on him, he could just go to the store or go to the marketplace, right, and get that wheat, right, with the barrel. Okay. Rabba Rav Yosef Damer Tervayo, Rabba and Rav Yosef both said the following, my time of Amar Rabbanon, poskin al shar shabashuk, v'aval pisha einlo. Why do we say, right, that a person is allowed to kind of give $100 to get, right, produce in the future, right, if there's a shar bashuk, if there's an, you know, the price is stable in the market, even though the guy doesn't have any money, meaning, even not any money, even though the seller doesn't actually have the goods. So in our case, why do we say it's mutter to give somebody $100, right, to get a barrel of wheat, right, in a month from now? He could say, your favors are lousy. I mean, there's no point. You're not doing me any favors. Right? Honestly, right? Meaning, because the seller keeping this money, it doesn't do the buyer any favors, right? If this buyer would just have kept the money instead of giving it to this guy to give it to him in a month, right? The buyer himself could have just gone to these towns, right? Hini and Shili are towns. I could have just gone to buy it, right? So it's not a scenario, right, of Ona, right? Because it's not doing him any favors, right, to give the money now, right, and get the produce in a month when the seller, when the buyer could have done it, right, himself. Amalei Abaye the Rav Yosef Elamiata. That's true. Mutar luvo sabasa. But what do you mean? It should be mutter to lend a sabasa, right? We said that was if you're allowed to. We said you're not allowed to lend somebody, let's say, a barrel of wheat, right, to get, you know, and so that he pays you back a barrel of wheat because we're nervous that the price of wheat will go up, right, and then he'll be paying you back more than you lent him, right? But if theoretically, according to this, it should be mutter. Pshum demati amrlei reshkolati vuzcha b'shadi lechaziri damrlei, right, chitayk dekadach akala boy, right? Meaning, because there's guys also the lender, the malveh, can say to the loveh, to the borrower, right, you're not doing any doing me any favors, right? If my saw would have been ruined. Literally, that means chitay de kadach be'akabloi, be'akalboi, right? Would my saw have been ruined, right, if I had left it in the storehouse and giving it to you? No, it wouldn't have gotten ruined, meaning the wheat increased in value, whether it was in my house or it was in your house. I mean, I'm not getting any extra money over here, right? So therefore, sabzah should be mutter theoretically. So also, same answer, that sabzah is a loan. But hacha, over here, we're talking about a sale. And we're talking about, again, it's the money is changing hands, right? The guy's giving him, right, the $100, and then give delivering, right, the barrel later. Amalei ad rav adabar ava amarlei adabar abba larava v'habay lemeis azuzi lesafsare. If the buyer would go buy the barrel of wheat himself, he'd probably have to pay, right, the middleman, right, the guy to go find him someone who's selling it. So the amarlei said back to me, yeah, the guy v'leinami, right, okay, nechinami. So he also, right, has to kind of, you have to take that into the cheshbon, right, when you're dealing with these cases. So Amar Ravashi says no. Zuzi dini de inchi inhu avdile sabsaruse, right? That no, you don't have to pay the middleman's fee theoretically, because the guy has money, right? The people will find him, right? Again, there's not so much cash going around in the marketplace, right? The sellers will seek him out, right? They'll call him, they'll telemarket him, they'll figure if the guy's got $100 looking to buy something, right? The Pasha says that the sellers will seek him out as well. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damer Tavayu, Hai Man Diyav Zuzi Atra Charifa, right? Tzarech Lachzui the Beidari. If a person, again, gives money for produce, at a, what's called, Rashi says, a shar halakutos, right, which is apparently it's a, before it goes to the market, right, there's a, kind of a little bit of produce, right at, as the produce is being reaped, right, it's not very valuable, it's sold, right, in advance of all of the grain getting to the market. So if a person pays for this kind of early kind of, it's not a early bird fee because the quality is worse, anyway, Tzarech Lachzui the Beidari. I'm not sure, just trying to see in Rashi where I saw the quality is worse. I thought I just knee jerked to that, but I thought I saw it, but I don't see it right now. Okay, fine. But long story short, this money that's given at the beginning, right before all the produce hits the market, Tzarech Lachzui the Beidari, right, the guy has to show up, right, at the threshing floor, at the guy's field, right, to kind of check the produce, right, and actually, right, actually take his wheat. Meaning, let's say a guy advances, let's say $100 for the first barrel of wheat that comes off the assembly line, right. So, right, and he advances that to the farmer, let's say in February or whatever before it comes off. So he has to, says Rabbi Rav Yosef, the guy's got to show up to the field to actually take his stuff, right, and otherwise it's not really a sale. Gemara says, what's the point of that? Lamai Elam Mikna, if he has to do a kinyan, salokani. What do you mean? Showing up to the field is not a kinyan, right? That doesn't do anything. Right? Money is not a kinyan, right? So you have to do a kinyan. Either kabuli aleha mishapara, and if it's to kind of make the deal, you know, done, so it should be a mishapara situation, right? So the kilo mitchazi nami mikalo aleha mishapara. Well, what do you mean? They had a deal, right? They also get a mishapara. Again, we said mishapara, if you back out of a deal, right, Kosh Baruch Hu, right, we'll unfortunately, lo aleinu, right, punish based on mishapara, who punished other, you know, generations that were not good. Okay, right, if you remember. Right, they had a deal. He doesn't have to show up to the field to kind of initiate and kick in the mishapara. So the Gemara says, lo the kabuli aleha mishapara. No, enechanami. Really, it's the guy's got to show up to the field so that there will be a mishapara. Just the money doesn't kick in the mishapara punishment. And you know, if somebody backs out, right? Because basically, what happens is that a guy is going to go around to two or three fields, right, and give this $100 to two or three different farmers. And if he shows up right at the field, so then the guy is somech his das. This is okay. He's actually going to buy it. But if not, samerlei. Right, I mean, the Ashkachach Peri, the Shapiri, Medide, Vishakalt. Right, and he could say, I found some better produce somewhere else. Right, so that he wasn't serious with the sale. Right, basically, he gives $100 to three farmers and shows up and picks one of them, and that's the actual produce that he buys. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi, and that's why he has to show up at the field, and that, because that actually literally seals the deal. Amar Ravashi, Hashda Demarta Mishum Demisma Chadaite. Right, so Afilu Ashche B'Shukav Amarlei Sam Chadaite. So now you tell me that the whole point of him showing up at the field is just to seal the deal. So even if he finds him anywhere, right, even in the shuk, even in the marketplace, right, so that he can say, right, that already, that he tells them that that's the deal, so then they can consummate the deal anywhere, right, doesn't mean that he has to actually have to go, right, to his field. Okay, we're going to stop at this two dots, because the next two dots is a little bit weird. Rav Nachman has a bunch of statements to say about ribbis. Yeah, so this is the actual place to pause. I'm not sure why, right? Sometimes you have weird two dots. Anyway, we'll wish everybody a wonderful day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.